Masechta Beis Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah says, Kol kinuyei nedarim kinedarim, vacharamim kacharamim, ushvuos kishvuos, uneziros kineziros. Now, as you may notice, this amud is very, very short because the Ran is very, very long, which is going to be a common theme throughout much of this Masechta. The Ran in Masechta's Nedarim is basically in place of Rashi. Most people think that the Rashi you see on the side here is not a real Rashi. It was written later by somebody else. The typical parish that people use on Nedarim is the Ran. So the reason why a lot of the Dafim and Nedarim are short is because the Ran has a lot to say. So every once in a while, maybe we'll throw in a few things that the Ran says if it's directly relevant. But either way, the Mishnah starts out as follows. The Mishnah describes what are called kinuyim. Kinuyim are essentially a shorthanded version of a neder. So again, the Ran explains all of this, but there are three different ways one can make a neder. There's something called the Iker Neder, where you just basically say exactly what you mean. You say, I hereby vow to do or to not do X, Y, and Z. That's an Iker Neder. Then you have a kinuy. A kinuy is basically, again, the Gemara is going to give a lot of examples of this as we go along. It's basically where you say something in a shorthand. In other words, you don't say it explicitly, but based on context, we can kind of figure out what you're saying. And then there's a third category, which we're also going to talk a lot about next week, called yados. Yados are basically where you don't even finish the sentence. You just say, you start to say the neder, but don't complete again. There's going to be a whole machlokas later what the status of that is. So either way, the Mishnah basically says this concept of kinuyim, this notion that I can utter a neder in shorthand and it can still be binding, it doesn't only apply by nedarim, it applies by shavuos, which are oaths, it applies by charamim, which are various forms of dedication when you dedicate something to the Beis HaMikdash or the Kohanim, and it also applies to a neder of Naziris. If a person vows to become a Nazir, so the same thing would apply there. If they used a kinu, they used a shorthand, the Naziris would also be effective. Then the Mishnah says,
why did that come about specifically for Nadarim?
Say it again, I'm sorry.
Why did the use of a shorthand come about?
You're asking what the source for this is. Okay, that's going to be a Gemara later on. We're going to discuss that in detail when we get to Daf Yud. That's going to be a whole sugya later on. Okay, so then the Mishnah says, Ha'omer lachaveru mudrani mimcha, mufreshani mimcha, meruchkani mimcha, sha'ani ochel lecha, sha'ani toim lecha aser, menuda ani lecha, Rabbi Akiva ha'yachocheich bazela hachmir. Then the Mishnah rattles off several different lishonos. Let's say a person says to his friend, I am vowing myself from you, or I'm separating myself from you, or I'm distancing myself from you, or I vow not to eat or taste anything that belongs to you. All of those are expressions that essentially indicate that Reuven is vowing to not derive benefit from Shimon. However, when it comes to that final expression, menuda anilacha, which means I'm excommunicated or banished or ostracized from you, so Rabbi Akiva was leaning towards being machmir and assuming that the person also forbade himself. And again, we're going to analyze that more in the Gemara next week. Okay, so now the Gemara asks on top of Amabes, kol kinuye nedarim kinedarim, so the question is like this. This whole Amud here, Beis Amud Beis, is extremely textual in nature. So the Gemara starts out by asking, if you look at the opening Mishnah in Nedarim, and you contrast that with the opening Mishnah in Nazir, you see a stark contrast. Namely, our Mishnah here on Beis Amud Aleph describes kinuyim, or shorthands, for Nedarim, for Charamim, for Shvuos, for Naziris. And if you look at Maseches Nazir, it only talks about shorthands for Naziris. Why is that? What's the difference? So the Gemara says, Mishum dineder ushua ksive gabe hadade tani tartin. The chema de sani tartin tani lechulu. So the Gemara gives a very textual answer, because if you look in Chumash, so the Torah juxtaposes the concept of a neder to the concept of a shvua, and once the Mishnah is listing those two, it says, okay, I might as well list the other ones as well. Okay, then the Gemara asks, the listne kinui shvuos basar nedarim. So then the next question is, well, why not list the shorthand for shvuos after nedarim? If you remember, the order of the Mishnah was, it was Nedarim, Charamim, Shavuos, and Nazir. So Charamim, which are those dedications to the Beis HaMikdash, was mentioned in between Nedarim and Shavuos. But if the only reason why the other things are in the Mishnah is just because Nedarim and Shavuos are juxtaposed in Chumash, it would have made more sense for Shavuos to be written after Nedarim. So the Gemara says, you're right, Aide Desana Nedarim, Demitzar Chevtza Alei, Tana Nami Charamim, Demitzar Chevtza Alei, Liafuke Shavua, Dekaaser Navshe Min Chevtza. The Gemara says that Nedarim and Charamim have a salient feature that are similar that a Shavua doesn't have. Namely, when a person makes a Neder, or when a person makes a Cherem, they make some sort of a dedication to the Hektish, the Beis HaMikdash, the Kohanim, so that item that they pledged or that they vowed is now forbidden. They're taking the Neder or the Cherem is going on the item. It's going on what's called the Cheftza, the object itself. In contrast, a Shavua is something that you impose upon yourself. It's something that goes on the Gavra, it goes on the individual. So because Nedarim and Charamim in that regard are were similar, the Mishnah put them together and then it put Shvua after. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Pasach b'chinuyen, kol kinuyen nedarim, umifarish yados. Ha'omer lachavir umudarani mimcha. Visu yados inche. So now the Gemara has another two textual questions on the Mishnah. The Mishnah starts out by referencing kinuyim, right? Kol kinuyen nedarim, kinedarim, and charam kacharam. It talks about all these shorthands, but then all the examples we mentioned at the end of the Mishnah, right? If a person says, miruchkani mimcha, or mefreshani mimcha, I'm distanced from you, I'm separated from you, those are examples of yados, which again, we referenced earlier. A yad is basically just a shorthanded version of a neder, as opposed to a kinuy, which is, I'm sorry, where a kinuy is basically shorthand. Yad is where you don't actually even finish the sentence. You just say, I'm distanced from you, I'm separated from you. So, the question is, why does the Mishnah, you know, open by saying, oh, we're going to discuss the kinuyim, and then it takes a left turn and decides to start discussing yados? And then the second question is that seemingly, the Gemara asks, did we forget about yados? Which is essentially another way of saying, in other words, how could the Mishnah not reference it? In other words, there's basically two questions here. Why does the Mishnah start with kinuyim and then talk about yados? And why does the Mishnah not even tell us that we're talking about yados in the first place? So the Gemara says, no, I re behon, vachasuri mechasre vahachi katane. Kol kinuyim nedarim kinedarim. The Gemara says, no, really, the Mishnah was just missing a line. The Mishnah really should have said that not only are all shorthand nedarim like regular nedarim, but all yados of nedarim are also like regular nedarim, meaning when you just begin the sentence, when you just say I, or when you just say me too, I'm also going to be like that nazir or like that person. So that can also qualify as a neder. So in other words, the Mishnah really meant to say that all kinuyim are like nedarim, and also that all yados are like nedarim as well. Okay, then the Gemara asks, v'lifrosh kinuyim bereisha. Fine, so let's assume that that's true, that the Mishnah really meant to say kinuyim and yados, but then why does the Mishnah first talk about kinuyim and then give me examples of yados? It should have given me examples of kinuyim. The examples of kinuyim are only mentioned later on Daf Ches. We don't hear about the kinuyim at all, even though they're referenced briefly in the Mishnah on Bezam and Aleph. So the Gemara says, no. Hahu desolik minei, hahu mefarish beresha, kidisnan, bame madlikin uvame'in madlikin, ein madlikin, bame tomnin uvame'in tomnin, ein tomnin, bame isha yotzo vame'in yotza, lo teitze isha. So the Gemara gives you several examples, actually all from Maseches Shabbos, that whenever you have this type of a construct where the Mishnah is drawing a contrast between two things. So let's say in our case, we're contrasting a kinuy to a yad. So the Mishnah will always give you the examples of the latter thing before the former thing. We find this is probably most prominent from Brachos Dav Beis Amad Aleph, where the Mishnah first discusses Kriya Shema Shal Arvis and then only later to Kriya Shema Shal Shachris, right? The reason being, at least according to one interpretation, is because the Mishnah will often talk about the last thing it just mentioned, and then it'll circle back to the first thing. And in fact, the Gemara gives you several examples of this throughout Maseches Shabbos, where in the beginning of the second parak of Shabbos, you have Bameh Madlikin Uvameh In Madlikin. What are you allowed to light with for Neir Shabbos, and what can you not light with? And then it goes on to give you examples of what you cannot use, and only then does it circle back to things you can use. And the same is true for the Mishnah in the fourth parak of Shabbos about what you're allowed to use for Hatmana, for insulating things on Shabbos, and also in the fifth parak of Maseches Shabbos, where it talks about different types of jewelry and ornaments that a woman can wear and what she can. So the Mishnah talks first about what she can, and then goes back to what she can't. So the Gemara then questions this. V'chol heicha de pasach lo mefarish bereisha. So the Gemara says, is this really true? Is this an ironclad rule that every time we set up a contrast, so we're always gonna give the details of the latter thing before the former thing? V'hasnan yesh nochalenu manchilin, nochalen v'lo manchilin, ve'ilu nochalenu manchilin. Yesh mutaris levalan v'asuris levimayan, mutaris levimayan v'asuris levalan, ve'ilu mutaris levalan v'asuris levimayan. Yesh tuunos shemenu levona, shemen v'lo levona, ve'ilu tuunos shemenu levona. Yesh tuunos hagash. So the Gemara basically gives you five examples throughout Shas where this principle clearly does not apply. Where the Gemara, where the Mishnah will contrast two categories. It will say, let's say for example, the first example the Gemara gives is a Mishnah in the eighth parak of Bava Basra. It says some people they inherit and they also can bequeath after they die, and other people they inherit but they don't bequeath. So and then the Mishnah goes on to talk about the people who inherit and bequeath. In other words, it goes to the former subject first, and only then to the latter one. And the Gemara gives you countless examples of this, where in Yavamos, some people are allowed to marry their husbands and also their Yavams. Again, these are all examples you mentioned in Yavamos about a case of, let's say, a Kohen Gadol to an Amana, and all these examples. And then the Gemara gives you other examples from Menachos. Certain types of carbon minchas require oil and frankincense, some and others only require oil. And then some carbonos have to be brought to the Mizbeach, and some of them have to be woven, and you have to wave them, and others don't. And then finally, last example, example from Bechoros, right? There are some people who qualify as a Bechor in terms of Kahuna and not for Nachala or vice versa. The point is that in all five of these examples, you see that the Gemara or the Mishnah goes back and discusses the first topic before the latter one. So the Gemara says, you're right. The Gemara says, Halein Mishum de Avshule Mefari Shahu de Pasach Beresha. The Gemara says, the reason why these five are the exception is because there are not merely two categories here. If you look at all of these examples in Yevamos and in Bava Basra and in Bechoros and Menachos, you'll notice that there's actually more than two categories that are mentioned here. So for example, in the case of Bava Basra, it's not just two categories of some people bequeath and inherit and some people only inherit. There are other categories. You know, in other words, some people don't inherit or bequeath. Some people bequeath and don't inherit. There's actually four categories mentioned. So anytime you have more than two categories that are referenced, the Gemara says, then you always start with the first one. If all you have are two categories, then you go to the latter one first, and then you circle back to the first one. That's the Gemara's idea. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? But the Gemara says, one of the examples from Masechet Shabbos seems to break that rule. The Mishnah in Shabbos asks, what type of ornaments can an animal wear on Shabbos so that it doesn't constitute violating Shabbos for the animal? And then it talks about, and then it lists Yotze Gamal, then it says that a camel can go out wearing a bit and wearing the reins and whatever. So that's an example where there are only two categories, and yet the Mishnah still starts by mentioning the first one. So the Gemara says, you're right, Elo Lav Davka, Zimnin Mefarish Ahud the Fasach Beresha, Zimnin Ahud the Salach Mefarish Beresha. The Gemara's answer basically is that there is no rule, that it's completely arbitrary, right? That sometimes it'll go back to the first category, and other times it'll start with the latter one, and then eventually circle back to the first one.